Hello, I'm John Pello, Chief Executive Officer of the Canadian Council of Christian Charities. Welcome to another podcast from my blog, Christian Leadership Reflections, which can be found at ccc.org/blogs/John. Today's podcast is entitled, Servant Leaders, Whom Do They Serve? What does it mean to be a servant leader? Whom should leaders serve? What service do they provide? How does one serve and lead at the same time? Great questions that deserve discussion, so let's get started. Servant leadership is probably the most talked about leadership model of our generation. It's a term coined by Robert Greenleaf, a man who said he was always informed by the Judeo-Christian ethic and who, at midlife, became a Quaker. He felt, though, that servant leadership has universal application. Servant leadership is well accepted in the corporate world, where its benefits include closer contact with customers because of decentralized decision-making, avoidance of greed-based behaviors because the interests of all stakeholders are considered, and better innovation due to its focus on empathy and listening that lead to greater open-mindedness. But servant leadership particularly resonates with Christian leaders because of Jesus' example and sayings. For instance, in Matthew 20:26-28, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And also Luke 22:26-27, but it is not this way with you, but the one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. Jesus is a model of servant leadership. Jesus' most dramatic teaching of servant leadership occurs when he washes his disciples' feet in John 13. If ministry leaders want to be servant leaders, should they act like domestic servants in imitation of Jesus? Should they serve coffee for the staff? At the end of the day, do servant leaders become valets, bringing cars to the door for their staff? No. A leader may do acts of service, just as any person might do for another. But this is thoughtful kindness, not servant leadership. Jesus' point was much bigger than this. We need to understand his teaching methodology to get it. Jesus used hyperbole as a teaching tool. When he told people to pluck out their eyes and cut off their hands and feet, as in Mark 9, he didn't mean that they should literally go and do so. He was reinforcing the point of how serious sin is. It is better to live eternally in heaven and suffer a disability in this temporary life than it is to go to hell forever in exchange for the short-lived pleasures of sin. Furthermore, Jesus didn't promise to wash the disciples' feet every time they entered a room. It was a single act of hyperbole to teach a lesson, contrasting the ways of God's kingdom and human kingdoms. In God's kingdom, rulers rule for the welfare of the people, not their own. Thinking that having his feet washed by Jesus would actually accomplish something, Peter wanted to be completely bathed to get more of whatever benefit washing provided. By taking Jesus' symbolic act literally, he missed the point. At least he had a good heart. Well, who do Christian leaders serve? First, they serve Jesus Christ. Christian leaders, like all Christians, serve Jesus. Jesus likewise served his Father. Recognizing this, Henry and Richard Blackaby wrote in Spiritual Leadership, Moving People On to God's Agenda, that we should not dream up what we can do for God, but ask what God has already planned for us to do, as in Ephesians 2:10. Christian leaders must therefore be spiritually sensitive to receive God's leading. If you'd like to learn more about attuning yourself to God, a great guide is Space for God, the Study and Practice of Spirituality and Prayer. I also have a series, Hearing God Speak, on my blog. If you can go to the right navigation bar, there is a label called Series, and you'll find it there. Christian service includes not only what we do, but also how we do it. So Christian leaders serve Christ by working on godly goals in godly ways. But Christian leaders also serve their ministry's mission. Ministry leaders must dedicate their leadership to the organization's mission, which is the ministry's raison d'etre. Leaders serve the mission by gathering people and resources to work together on it. They lead people in group discernment, challenge people to be and do their best, keep the mission in front of their teams, and watch for mission drift and keep the ministry on course. Christian leaders serve their boards. Boards are the guardians of their organization's mission, values, and risk tolerances. They may do more than that, but all boards have these three primary responsibilities: governing what a ministry does, defining its character traits, and deciding when the ends do or do not justify the means. They also hire, oversee, and terminate the senior leader. So the senior leader is a servant of the board. Senior leaders serve their boards by following their directions and policies and accomplishing their goals. Christian leaders serve their beneficiaries. We, the people of God, exist because God wants us to be a light to the world through whom all peoples will be blessed. So ministry leaders serve their ministry's beneficiaries first by understanding them and their circumstances, and then by working for their welfare. Christian leaders serve their organizations. Finally, leaders serve their organizations through excellent leadership, by pursuing their own personal and professional development, modeling what the ministry values, caring for the organization's health, including the professional development of its staff and volunteers. Leaders must always be thinking about what is best for the organization for its viability, performance, and reputation. Servant leadership attitudes. Servant leadership is not just about doing, it is also about a way of thinking. It is about recognizing a higher authority than oneself and acknowledging that the goal of leadership is to benefit others. Here are some of the essential attitudes that support servant leadership. Humility. Christian leaders realize they are serving in their leadership role not by right or by merit, but by the grace and call of God, which is jointly discerned by the leader and those who are in authority over the leader. Gratitude. There is a healthy sense of wonder that comes with being appointed to a position of leadership, a wonder that keeps the focus on service and away from self. Leadership is never about the leader, but about the mission. When a leader makes it about the person, or allows others to make it about the person, the leader has strayed from true Christian leadership. Christian leaders serve with an attitude of gratitude, thanks to Zig Ziglar for coining such a memorable phrase. They are thankful for the opportunity to serve and for the confidence that others have placed in them. There's a great post that I've linked to on my blog about having an attitude of gratitude that is well worth reading, especially if you are working on a Saturday, like I am right now. Sober self-assessment. Examining one's own performance is a way of acknowledging accountability for service given to another. A leader might assess motives. What is driving me? Would I be willing to admit my deepest motives in public? Effect on other people. How do other people experience my leadership? Feelings. What causes me joy or hurt? Is it appropriate? Ego. I know I need a healthy ego, but are my ego needs driving my leadership behavior? And the final attitude is exaltation. Rather than drawing attention to themselves, Christian leaders exalt Jesus by pointing to him and giving him the glory for the work of the ministry. Servant leadership metaphors. There are some great biblical metaphors, other than servant, that leaders would do well to reflect on. Each conveys an aspect of servant leadership. I'll let you have the fun of exploring these on your own, but they include shepherd. Compare John 10:11-15 with Ezekiel 34. Steward. For example, Titus 1:7-8. Mother, 1 Thessalonians 2:7-8. Father, 1 Thessalonians 2:11-12. Leading while serving. Leaders are supposed to get results, and some leaders may worry that servant leadership will jeopardize their ability to do that. Not to worry. Servant leadership is leadership for the benefit of others, not a specific leadership process. For example, Jesus, James, and Paul were all servant leaders, and yet each used a different decision-making process. Jesus didn't recruit a group of disciples to problem-solve how to get Israel to fulfill its purpose. He knew what had to happen and where they should go, and even when they objected, for instance, going to Judea in John 11, 1-16, Jesus went ahead and led them where he knew they should go. James led the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15, allowing everyone to give their opinions. He then made the decision himself for the council and gave his reasons for it. Paul had a vision in Acts 16, which he presented to his team, and together they agreed on its interpretation. Whichever way leaders choose to lead, if they do it in a godly way for the welfare of others, they can be servant leaders. Now, it must be said that normally leaders will want to include as many people as possible in their leadership deliberations because it is so beneficial for everyone. It draws on the wisdom of the group, contributes to each member's professional development, improves buy-in to the decisions that are made, allows team members to make better decisions in their own realm of responsibility because they have the big picture. A consultative process does not preclude giving instructions to team members. Consulting and directing work quite well together. The best example I can give of consultation followed by direction is how the Devil's Brigade operated. This was an elite joint Canadian-American World War II commando force in which my uncle, Graham Nielsen, was a first lieutenant. He served in the 2nd Battalion, 3rd Regiment of the 1st Special Service Force, the official name of the Devil's Brigade. When a mission was being planned, everyone contributed to the planning. The best ideas, no matter whose they were, floated to the top, and a consensus was reached. But once the plan was put into action, the highly disciplined team instantly followed every command from the leaders. Servant leaders find great joy working towards something much bigger than themselves. They are passionate about using whatever they have to offer for the benefit of the world around them, and they draw others to that same mission, creating an organization in which all staff who are similarly motivated can find fulfillment. God bless.